Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, we had a great show on yesterday. We got a chance to really put it out there. We talked about our children being abducted and put into the slave trade. And it's unfortunate that we as black people, we don't take time out to understand exactly what is going on, not only in our community, but in our surroundings. You know, like for instance, here we had a guy in a black truck that was driving around checking out the women. It just so happened, spotted him. So that kind of like helped a little bit. But we're going to continue to talk about that because our community needs to know, even if they're not listening to what people are saying, you know, at least we're telling them. My job is to give you the information. What you do with that information is on you. All right. Once I give it to you, I have done my job. And what you do with it is on you because we're some hard, tough people. You know, if it don't affect us right then and there, normally we do not care. But when it's time, when it do affect us, it's too late to get the wisdom and the knowledge to do what we need to do. So that's unfortunate. And today we're going to have Ms. Moore. She's going to be talking about doula, you know, and I think that's something that, especially for the younger people, that you need to know and be aware of. And have that information, have that tool in your toolbox, because that's important. One thing I can tell you, they don't care nothing about us. You know, I can confess to that. And if you sit around thinking that they like you, you got a mental problem. You're mentally ill. I'm going to say that. You're mentally ill if you believe that these folks like you, because they don't. If they can't get nothing out of you, they don't want to be bothered with you. They will kill you. They will do. They will try to destroy your life. They will do everything within their power to make sure that a black person do not succeed. They will do it. You know, and you without dignity, there is no liberty. Without justice, there is no dignity, and without independence, there are no free black man or woman. Or child. For over 250 years, this system has been in place. It allows 545 people to control over 330 million of us. And we accept it. We accept it. And 95% of them are white. And we allow this to happen in our community. We allow this to happen in our life. Sometimes, it's, you know, you might want to take a bullet for the cause, you know, because remember this, it's not about you anymore. It's about the future of our children. And to build a foundation, we must take back the mind of the people, you know. And I just want to say that black folks has been robbed of themselves. They've been robbed. They don't even know which way is up, most of them. But we got to do better. If you don't want to do better for yourself, do better for the future of our children. That's more important. There's nothing more important than our children. And last time I talked about buck breaking. Or buck busting. It's a far right thing to refer to sexual abuse of black males. At that time, they did it sexually. They attacked the manhood of the man in front of the woman, the female, the children, and all his friends. And that, I believe, has happened to us today. Think about this for a second. Think about this for a second. A police officer go out and shoot someone and kill him, knowing that he was wrong, but yet the system says it's justifiable homicide. It's not really for that dead person. It's for the people, the black folks that's still alive. I call it buck breaking. The court system. You go into a Myers or even a Walgreens or Walmart and just say you're hungry and take a bag of potato chips and eat it. You got a good chance of going to prison. They will send you to prison over a bag of chips. That's right. Whether you like it or not, they will do it, you see. And it's designed, it's all a mental thing. They attack the mind of black people. You don't hear black people out here killing white folks. You don't hear that. Black folks killing black folks over nothing. He looked at me. He said something about me on Facebook. All this kind of stuff. It's real, you see, because I call it buck breaking, you see, and also on the job. When you're on the job, what they would do normally, now listen to this, what they would do, fire someone who actually doing good work and keep the guy that's not doing good work. We call that buck breaking. That's what it is. What is the answer to our school system? You see, I think one thing that I did for my children, you know, when they came home talking they didn't have no homework, they had to make some up. That's how we did it, you know. I don't let them teach my children, you know, knowing that they didn't want to do it in the first place. And I taught my children how to think critically, that critical thinking, which is so important. But we need to just start standing up, fighting back. If you are silent about your pain, they will kill you instead you enjoy it. If you are silent about your pain, they will kill you instead you enjoy it. We are at war. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. You know, we have to make sure that people understand. I know that people don't you know, they don't enjoy this. But I got a nice audience. I mean, I got to confess, it's obvious somebody want to hear this. Thing I want to do is get your mind prepared for the next level. Because right now we're in trouble. We are in trouble. What they have done to us and continue to do the same thing over and over and over again, and we accept it. You know, we accept it. Like, it's supposed to be that way. Let me say this. It do not. People come from all over. See, they take care of everybody but black folks. You see, black people, the program is designed. The immigrants come here. They find a place for them. The Ukrainians, they're sending billions and billions and billions of dollars over there. You see, but here, what most people don't know, that's the United States war. The United States started that war. They did it. They started that war. That's why the only thing, the Ukrainians are dying and not Americans. You see, they started that war against Russia. They did. It could have backfired and ballooned into something really different. China could have joined Russia. Then there would have been a problem. But it exposed Russia to who they are. little bit the Ukrainians, you know, and we don't really know the truth because we're not there. We're listening to the propaganda. I don't believe for one second that Russia can't go in there and crush them. I don't believe that. But it hasn't happened. Come on, they got the Russians on the run and all that kind of stuff. I don't believe none of that stuff. You know, the Russians can almost have the United States of America, you know. And I tell you, this is going to be interesting. But here's what I want to say. I want to move on. I want to talk about the Soundboard of the Year Award. The last nominee, you can no longer nominate anyone. 715 was the last day at midnight to nominate someone. And we have our nominees in. And the voting do not start until August 1st. I sent out a survey to over 120 people. I received back about 110 survey who they would pick to be the symbol of the year. And like now we have 9 candidates, and last year it went so well. So many listeners, over 60,000 people actually. I don't know whether somebody voted twice. I can't say that, but we got over 60,000 votes. Barron County never got 60,000 votes for Bang. They just don't do it. So we know that you're listening, and we also like your opinion. But I don't want you to use the B word. Somebody sent me an email and saying that my leather seats was he started talking about her like she was an animal. And we don't really want that. We can talk about it, but I don't want people telling me, calling her bees and you know, she looked like a horse and all. Oh, I don't want to hear that. Let's make sure we're doing and being truthful what we're saying more than anything else. So let's stay focused on the big picture. You can vote, but I would suggest, you know, when you vote, please don't write a comment. And you don't have to tell me why you're voting for this person. We just want you to vote, you see. And I really thought what you were saying about my letter. And I checked him. She's all this. She's a man. I mean, there's so much stuff that people know about people. You'd be surprised when a person know about you, you know. And but we're not. The only thing we want to do. We're voting for the symbol of the year. That's it. We're not going into anything else. We're voting to talk about the symbol of the year award. We don't want to dirty it up, you know. And I know a lot of you got a lot of stuff to say about my letter. Everybody do, and it's unfortunate. And her son, I know they're bad people, but We're gonna do what we do. We're gonna do what's right. You know, try to eliminate all these symbols. Let the people know who's a symbol, who you trust, who not to trust. But here's the list who made it through the nomination. We have the mayor here of Benton Harbor, Marcus Muhammad. He for the last 2 years, he had won the Sambo of the Year Award, and he's a real Sambo. I got to confess, he's a real Sambo. I don't see how Minister Louis Farrakhan allow this man to walk around without questioning him. I don't see that. And unfortunately, that's one of the things that, you know, and Louis Farrakhan is also a friend of mine. But matter of fact, he's the one who was at my house when he told Marcus to run. But he told Marcus to take care of the people. He said it three times, will you take care of the people? Will you take care of the people? And he said it, and this man failed to take care of the people. He wanted to take care of Marcus. He used the minister, and he used me to help get him in there. Anyway, let me move on. Ron Singleton, Commissioner Ron Singleton, the disgraced commissioner, he was involved in a slam. The chief of police, Walker, at that time, they scammed the Benton Harbor Police Department out of their pension money, and he retired, signed a consent form, and left the city of Benton Harbor. Unbelievable. Then we have the Wayne seats, straight up Sambo, you know, and we'll leave it at that. And then my letters, you know, everybody probably know about her, you know. And then we have Sharon Henderson, Commissioner Sharon Henderson, who's been a Sambo for the last 12 years. And what we want to do, we want to make sure that everybody know who these people are. They can be your friend if you want them to be. That's on you. But they could never, ever, ever be my friend. I don't even want to talk to them about nothing. Then we have Trent Bourne. That man has been robbed of himself. He's so pitiful, shameful, disgraceful, but yet still, you know, he's here. He can be around black people because black people accept things that white people accept. White people accept him. When white people accept him, black people will accept him. You know, they really think they got it going on by beating you and your family, robbing from your children. And they think it's okay. It's not okay. Then we have Ellis Mitchell, the city manager. Man almost 90 years old. He was on a conference call with the governor's office. And it was time for him to speak, and he sleep. He called it a short nap. But you don't take a nap when we're doing business like that. I could imagine he come to work to sleep. You know, the other day he had this guy water cut off because he had his pipes changed. And what he did, he had this guy water cut off, and he got a disabled wife who needs, you know, the babes and stuff like that. And reason unknown, and he won't answer his phone. News 22 went to visit him, and he refused to answer the phone or anything else. It was really, really sad. But this is what black people do to black people, you see, and they can get away with it because the white folks support something like that. Anytime you're hurting black people, you got, according to this lady, 67% of white people are evil and wicked. I think it's a little bit higher. But that's not my thought. Then let me go to Judge Mayfield, the baby snatcher, I call her. She's one. That is one of the biggest money makers in the whole country. Snatching children, putting them in foster care. And once you do that, they go from foster home to foster home to foster home. And each time it's more money, more money. And that's just the way it's been. It's been just like that. Unfortunately, Judge Mayfield, who is black, it's almost ridiculous even talking about it. But we black folk, because she's a judge, you know, we stand and we look up to her. But you can't look up to a Sambo. If you look up to a Sambo, you need some mental help. Anyway, the last person before I bring in my first guest. Is Chief McGinnis. Now, he's the only guy who's the chief of police and do exactly nothing. If it wasn't for the state police, not one murder will be solved here. They never solved the case, these guys. And if you call them, the first thing they ask is the person that needs help, black or white. Whoever heard that? And yet he's still the chief of police. Who cares about black people? Black people don't even care about black people. You know, we got to be the most hated group of people in this world. And they put it out there so people can hate us. Well, look, I'm going to bring in my first guest and move on. I think that, you know, those are the samples. Voting don't start until August 1st. Voting do not start until August 1st. And you can start voting, sending me an email. You can send me an email, and we will record, my secretary will record everybody who sends in an email with their choice, one of the nine. We will definitely record it, and hoping that you, oh, man, we got a full house today. God bless y'all. Okay, I'm glad to see that. It sounds like I'm saying something right. Okay, because, I mean, we got a full house today. People are tuning in, and they're ready to roll. And let's bring in my first guest, Ms. Moore, and let's see where we're at with Ms. Moore. Ms. Moore, talk to me.
Peace, Reverend Pinkney, and all of our listeners. Welcome to the Black Doula Report, where we celebrate the power of strength. The power
Amen.
Of strength and black families. We got a lot going on in the community, Reverend Pinkney. A lot of women need help. A lot of families need help. A lot of people in Benton Harbor need help. And as a doula, it's been really difficult to bring together any kind of resources for the people, because there really isn't anything in Benton Harbor. There's nothing to – I have clients that are people are calling Dr. Tyne's office and wanting doulas, and my job is to bring together all of the resources in the community, and there is none to bring in the Benton Harbor area, and that's really hard considering all of the disparities that black people are already going through, including, you know, bad water, bad food, bad air quality in the educational system. So we're just struggling in every direction. And when you say that we're hated globally all over the world, there is no love for the melanated black man and woman. There's no love for them. Mm-hmm. Unless we love ourselves, we have to love ourselves first.
Right. See, that's how we can defeat them. If we love ourselves, see, they got us where we don't even love ourselves. They got our children out here killing each other over nothing. And they're doing this. This is a plan that they're executing, and we're accepting it. You see. Because they got us divided. They think that materialistic things is the most important thing. But the future of our children, you know, we build our foundation. We have a wife and we have children. And you build that foundation on that, you see. So
right.
We got to do what we have to do. And, you know, doulas, see, anything that has to do with black folks, where there's going to be resources needed, stuff like that, anything you do, you got to go to them and get it. You can't, you don't have the resource. They control all the money. They control everything that you think of. And we allow them because we're so busy just trying to survive.
And it's the low-hanging fruit that is forwarding most of all of our social and political parties right now. Like everything that's going on, it's people that's not voting in our behalf, they're not helping in our community. Where I'm from, most of our political parties are all black, and really it just seems like no one's really doing anything about anything. We're just sitting and waiting. They're just collecting. So you're right. There's an issue, and we're going to have to, the only way to solve these problems is to come together with like-minded individuals and defeat them ourselves. We're going to have to be our own problem solvers.
Yes. Absolutely. And to me, I have to be honest with you. I had no idea about a doula. I have, you know, I know babies are dying here left and right. And there's no, in their eyesight, it was white babies that was dying like black babies, they'll put a stop to it. But as long as it's black babies, they really don't care. Who cares? Black people don't even care. They don't care.
The statistics can be counted back to 1970.
Huh?
I was saying that the statistics for infant mortality can go back to 1970, where they've continually said that this is an issue and it's a problem, and that that we need help, and they've been helping us, and there hasn't been any kind of huge decrease in our numbers ever. I mean, ever since black people were comrades, we really haven't, the numbers have not went down. So now we're talking about black babies dying, black mothers are dying. They said black mothers are dying 243% more than whites, than the white race. There is no other anomalies for black women to be dying at that rate other than systemic racism. They're not dying because of hypertension or diabetes, because white women get hypertension. White women get diabetes. Mm-hmm. White women's birth rates are way better at an eighth grade level than a black woman at a college degree. With a black woman with a college degree is more likely to die than a woman with an eighth grade education. So all of this is just boils down to our skin color. We're hated all over the world. I was bringing the statistics for about Finland. Our friends in Finland, I was doing some reading, and they have an official, a cabinet official. I think his name is Vellum Julana. He was with the Economic Affairs Minister, was one of the 19 cabinet members. He said it would justify Finland to just shoulder its responsibility by promoting climate abortion. So how do we have anything to do with climate change? So aborting us will cool off the planet? It just doesn't make any kind of sense. You know, hey to our friends in Finland.
So aborting black folks will cool off the whole planet.
It's going to cool the planet if you kill black people off.
I like that, Ms. Moore. I love it.
So we have to continue to work together.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you know, when you talk about a doula, let's go back and talk about what do a doula do, you know. We got a full house today. We got folks everywhere. They, you know, and tell us, what do a doula do?
So that is a humongous question. The doulas have a huge responsibility in caring for and assisting pregnant women with their emotional and physical needs. So if I have a client and you're my doula client, I'm going to come to your house, I'm going to visit you, I'm going to check on you, I'm going to make sure that you're all prepared for birth. That means from packing your diaper bag to answering any questions that you have about going into the hospital. Meal planning for after postpartum after you have the baby, so you'll be prepared when you come home. You'll have meals to cook, because oftentimes when you're breastfeeding and you're nurturing a newborn baby, you forget about yourself, and that is a huge contributor into postpartum depression. So making sure that you have things in proper order before you go into the hospital, and you have an understanding before you go into the hospital, so that you're empowered and you know what you're up against when you're in the hospital, and then you can reduce the cascading interventions or medical medicines that the doctors will give you. You can put a stop to that. You can put a stop to any uncomfortable conversations that may be going on in the room, because you're allowed to. And really, doctors work for you. I don't know where the trade and relationship went wrong, but doctors really work for you. They don't have a whole lot of time to explain every single thing. So that's a good place where the doulas can come in and talk about what it is that you need for your birth or what it is that's going on with you. Let's say that, you know, you're pregnant and you have a UTI. Well, urinary tract infections can cause miscarriages. So making sure that you have your antibiotics you're in contact with your doctor if anything's going on, a doula can step in and say, hey, you know, have you checked in? Have you picked up your pills? And you may say, oh, well, you know, my insurance, I'm waiting, da-da-da. But we can encourage you to move forward and be proactive about your health. So having a doula is an amazing feature for the hospital when you're going in and having your baby, because you have an extra pair of eyes that's there. We're there, we're knowledgeable about what's supposed to go on in the delivery room. We can keep the traumas down and keep a peaceful atmosphere so that you can have a more pleasant, calm birth. It shouldn't be rushed. You shouldn't feel uncomfortable. You shouldn't feel uncomfortable with your physician. I was in Grand Rapids at the BIPOC Mental Health Fair this weekend, and I spoke to several black women that are currently pregnant, excuse me, and they were in various stages, from just finding out that they were pregnant to almost ready to deliver. And all of them expressed concerns about how they felt about going into the hospital, even concerns about their physician. So that these types of things can be calmed with a doula, because a doula knows the physician relationship with the patient, and also we can be a navigator through that whole entire system.
I like. So let's say if I ran across a girl that was pregnant, and I wanted to get in touch with a doula, what would I do? Would I give her a card to have her to call you, or what would I need to do to get her on board for something like this?
Well, number one, we have Benton Harbor Health Clinic is offering doula services, and you can call them. Their number is 269-926-8535. You can also call Sacred Blackstone Doula Service. That number is 616-315-7101. Both of these services are direct, complementary services to what's already going on in the community right now. So we're just looking for more people to get involved, both on the aspect of becoming doulas, because we need more sisters to come out and support other sisters in having babies, but we also want to give a service to the sisters that are in the community. And this is to all sisters. This is all women that are having babies, but the statistic is very specific. Black women and children are dying. So that is a main focus. So bringing in the women to have babies, and also teaching women to support other women is a goal right now.
You know what? I really like that. I do run across pregnant. Young, most of the people I run across now is the younger people. I know not the older people, more the younger people. And that is really one of my greatest concerns when I think about someone being pregnant and not getting the proper care, you know. And I know, you know, how racist things are down here. And it might really frighten a young girl. And anything can happen, you know. So my biggest concern right now is maybe finding some kind of situation where my team can work, and I'm going to put the word out if someone's pregnant to definitely contact Dr. Tan's office, and that way they'll be connected to you. And we're out here. We're way out here, you know. And that's they don't like that. They They don't like black people helping black people. They don't like that. They think it like this. We run fast, but we don't run long. We might start something, but we never complete it. That's their thing. That's why it's so important that you're here. And also it's so important that I'm here because they know I run to the finish line, you know. But I think it's crucial that we talk about this with our people and our children who are having babies. We got to make sure we coach them through this thing and also teach them how to be a mother, you know, because I'm pretty sure their mother, she probably had a baby at such a young age also and have no idea how to really be a parent. So I take my hat off to you. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about the doula. And you have given me an education, and I am proud, I tell you this, proud to know a person that's willing to go beyond the call of duty, because we don't have many black people willing to stand up for black folks. We don't, you know, it may seem like it's a lot, but it's not. Black people run for cover.
Can I say one thing, Reverend Pinkney? About your young adults, this is a career choice. This is something that they can learn how to do now and move on and later become midwives and make up to $150,000 a year. So this is not just, you know, a side hustle or, you know, this, well, it could be a side hustle. But this is definitely a career choice. This is something that could change your life and also change people's lives in your community. So I really want you to consider, and I'm speaking to the young ladies out there, I really need you to consider taking care of another sister. If you're pregnant now, all the things that you want right now, you could give to someone else and change their life. You could help another sister and save her baby. So this is definitely something that could be lucrative, it's life-changing, and it's a community asset.
Absolutely. Hey, that is huge. And, you know, and I'm so happy that you come on and talk about this. You know, just put another tool in our toolbox because, you know, we, you know, like I said, they're not here to help us, you know. And that's one of the things that we have to get through our head. These white folks is not here to help us. If they can't figure out a way how to make money off us, they're not going to be bothered with us, you see. And that's what they look for. And that makes me so proud just to know you. First of all, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. If you got some closing thoughts before I bring in Dr. Tams, go right ahead. You know, take a couple of minutes and tell us what you want people to know.
I want people to know that black women are dying at 3 to 5 times more likely than any other race. And there is no other reason than systemic racism. The CDC is saying that 80% of these deaths can be prevented. So all of this death, we talk about numbers. These are people's lives. These are women who belong to families. They were sisters and aunties and daughters to someone out there. And they are no longer with that family. And there's children out there without mothers who went in to have babies and did not come home. So this is impacting, putting ripples in our community. And there's lots of statistics. There's lots of statistics for this. And there's also a lot of notes. There's a lot of history about all of this going on. But like you said, there's nothing being done. So if no one else is going to speak about it, I want to speak about it. And I appreciate you, this platform, to be able to talk and bring this to fruition, to be able to talk to the community. Thank you.
And thank you, because it's an honor. Believe me, it is. And I really, really appreciate you. And we're going to continue spreading the word about the doula, and we're going to make it work. I'm going to tell you this now. I'm going to start putting a little time in there. Especially when I run across these plugging women, I'm going to refer them straight to Dr. Tam's office, and we're going to take it from there. But listen, I got to let you go. I got to bring you the one and only Dr. Donald Tam. All right, girl. Talk to you soon. And now it's time for the one and only Dr. Donald Tam. Talk to me, Dr. Tam. Tell me what's going on in your world.
I think it's so important that we're bringing the awareness of these the baby helpers, the ones that help the midwife deliver the babies, the ones that help the OBGYN to deliver babies, and we're calling those people now called doulas. So they're involved in helping to deliver the baby, but the doula has a dual role. They have a role in the beginning, and they have a role at the end. So the doula has a dual role. So they start with you at the beginning of your pregnancy, walk all the way through it, go to the delivery room, and then they have a dual part that after the pregnancy, they don't leave you or abandon you. They stay with you for several years to make sure that that baby's all right, make sure you're all right. And we have to be honest with ourselves in Benton Harbor, that and maybe Detroit and Flint and Southside Chicago, that we get in the hospital and our tongue get tied, we get all choked up, we get scared, it's them again, us, and we don't really speak up. And I think the number one cause of why we have so many baby deaths is because of the systemic racism and the unconscious implicit biases that have been continually killing our babies, and it's got so worse in recent times. The mothers have been starting to be killed. And yes, I said the word killed because there's no other explanation for it. Medical technology in terms of the labor and delivery has drastically improved, more so in the European American, quote unquote, white community, where they have increased survival of the white babies, but that same survival is not being shown in black babies. And so therefore, with those instruments being the same, you have to look at the person, the practitioner. And therefore, that practitioner, because of their hidden implicit bias, prejudice against the African-American race is being taught by society measures that you wind up finding that. And no matter who the foreigner is, whether they're from Europe or the European-American or even Asian, remember the Asians, and we got to set this straight, they're trying to piggyback off of our pain, suffering, and death. The Asian population is trying to piggyback off of our suffering and hardships and death. No Asian was there in the civil rights movement fighting along Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. They were not there. Medgar Evers, they were not there fighting with Medgar Evers. No. These bastards, yes, I'm calling you Asians bastards. When you trying to trample on the civil rights bill, the affirmative action bill that my family, aunties and uncles, got beat in the head with billy clubs, breast bit off by police dogs, hit and knocked down with water holes, hands shot in the back. You Asians were not there. You were just back there eating some Chinese kung fu rice. You were not there. You did not die and suffer. Never in America did you suffer at the level that the African has suffered. When you came over here during a gold rush, your butt had a job working on the railroad tracks, getting paid. So Asians, Chinese, show me, came to America as slaves. Show me where you worked as slave labor. No, you came here to find gold, to set up businesses during the gold rush. You came in here and you worked the railroad lines making money. And then you had the audacity and the nerve and the righteous decision in the Supreme Court where you go to the Supreme Court to make sure that you will never be ranked and classified with the African, with the black, with the slave, that you put it down in federal law, federal government, that the Asian, the Chinese will be separate. Your little mistreatment because they allow, can't be compared to us, they allowed you to have your little Chinese restaurants, little Chinese stores. At the same time that the black man, that the African was not allowed to own property but was considered property, you said nothing. You did nothing. Asian American, Asia, you did nothing. When you are in the hospitals, do you look out for the African-American baby? Do you look out for the African-American mother? The statistics say no, but do you break your neck to bring another Chinese baby, Japanese baby, Asian baby into the world? the statistic says yes. So yes, I'm calling you out because you had the audacity to talk about affirmative action. You had the audacity to talk about civil rights when you deny blacks their rights when they're in your country, when you mistreat blacks in your country, when we talk about in 2023. So don't try to pull that on me, no. So the reason we have to call these people out in the Arab world, they've yet to end slavery of Africans. In 2023, in July, they're still enslaving Africans in the Arab countries. So we have to call them out. So we have to understand there's nobody but us. And all we have to do is lean on us. And that's the thing they keep telling us not to do. So we have to look at the black doula. We have to look at the black mother. We have to look at the black baby because those are part of the family. And we have to look at the black man. They are trying to kill us by making our men into women and making our women into men and then killing us at table ends. So at the different table end, they're killing us. On the baby end, when the baby comes out, he goes into the table, so she goes on their little table, and then the mother's on that table. So they've been killing us. And if they're going to kill Serena Williams, I mean, Vanessa Williams, if they're going to go after them and treat them like they are nobody who are close to being almost billionaires, then that black skin will do you in. And they even made the comment on the next pregnancy, they're taking precautions to try to have them a black OBGYN, a black doctor, not an Asian or Arab or Indian doctor, not a white doctor. They're going to try to have a doctor that looks like them, that cares about them.
Absolutely.
And other races care about us, the evidence is very hard. There's very few whites who have stood the test of time and proved it. The whites that you have to honor are going to be John Booth, who fought to end slavery. There's the whites that you want to talk about who's trying to end systemic racism and implicit bias. You got Jane Elliott. There's the whites who are trying to fight and tell the truth to other whites. You got Tim Weiss. So right now you have one in history and two today that are putting the work in, putting their money where their mouth is, not just talking but trying to make it happen and calling it out. The other ones are going along with the program. The other ones are guilty until proven innocent. I'm going to say you're enormously guilty of racism, systemic bias, implicit bias until proven otherwise. See, you have white friends, I could pick you if you have on the show, that have proven themselves by their actions, not by their words, that they've eliminated the implicit bias, the systemic racism out their heart, and they walk side by side with you, hand in hand with you. But the other whites, no. They are guilty until they prove themselves innocent by their actions. They cannot, by their words, mean nothing. Or a blank check, an empty check that bounces because the data doesn't show that. There's no way in America that we should be dying at the rate that we're dying when technology is advancing. There's no way that white life should be improving and black life should be going the opposite way. There is no way to explain why they have fertility clinics in white communities and Planned Parenthood and abortion clinics in black communities. You have to look at that. When you look at black communities, you see the promotion of white businesses, and in the white community, you see the absence of black businesses. So the blacks are getting the double end. Your black political figures don't even have the concept or understanding that you're supposed to promote your own to keep you in, to vote you in, and to maintain you in. But yet, when you go out and just endorse white and support white, then the white will say good night, and then you're going to be out of the office. And all you would say, well, it was a good run when I did it. It was a good run when I had it, because our community shouldn't be in this situation. And so this is what we have to look at ourselves, that we are educated to be dumb, that we're taught to be ignorant. And you see, the thing about ignorance, that ignorance, you can correct that by teaching. But stupid is just plain stupid, and you can't do nothing with stupid. And so we have to see if some of our black leaders, are they stupid or are they ignorant? Because if you increase your population of whites, you might as well say good night. because whites don't need niggas anymore. Whites don't need niggas anymore. Whites don't need maids anymore. Don't need butlers. Don't need no step and fetching anymore. That's the reality. If they want anything, they can go get them a Mexican. They can go get them a Puerto Rican. They can go get them an Arab or Indian that'll hold that role temporary. Look at how they have outnumbered us and taken over the medical school. In the 1968s and 60s, when they implemented to put blacks in medical school to open up the door, other schools in their racist hearts said, okay, the government said we want African-American doctors to be 12% in the medical schools and hospitals. So the whites said, oh, if they want some darkies, we're going to go to India, and we're going to go to these Arab get some darkies. And so when they take a picture, you'll see some darkies on the pictures. That's their mentality. That's the mindset. There's no way that in 1889, hear me clearly, 1889, that 2.7% of all the physicians in the United States were black, and the other 97% were white. How is it that in 2022, that 2.7% of all the physicians, especially locally, are still black, but you'll find 30% Arab Asian is probably like to be identified, and then the rest, you know, European and some others. How is it that they came over and have gas stations and we could not have it? Did you know that they would not allow blacks to purchase gas stations? It was costing $75,000 to purchase a gas station, and they would not allow blacks to do it. Did you know that blacks tried to open up a supermarket? I can tell you, I personally tried to open up a supermarket in the city of Benton Harbor in a building complex, and it was a black city manager who's no longer there that actually blocked the effort, had investors from Muskegon and Detroit, you see. So we have these Stevens or snowballs out of Jangles that are just dangling us along, misleading us wrong, going down the wrong path. So that's in medicine. That's in business, that's in real estate, that's in health. How you judge your black leadership is by the number of jobs they created. How you judge your black leadership is by the number of jobs they created, the number of housing complexes that are owned by blacks. That's how you judge your black leaders. You judge your black leaders by how they have produced businesses that cause generational wealth. That's why if you're talking reparations and it doesn't make a clause of a generational wealth, then you stuck on stupid. And that's more so quoting Dr. Claude Anderson. It's not about a dumb nigga with a paycheck is a dumb nigga with a paycheck, and he going to spend it like an ignorant nigga. They're educated to know how to make that money to grow and live off the interest and not the principal. So you want your money to make money, and the money that's being made off your money, that's what you spend. You don't spend what you have in your pocket. You don't spend what you have in your bank account. You only spend the interest that's come off of it. When the Negroes try to set up businesses, they want to charge the highest prices and spend the money right away to show people, I got my own business. Look at my new car. Because we have been taught to be stupid like that. We have taught to be ignorant like that. No, instead of making sure that whatever we own is free and clear. Negroes can't talk to you if they got Section 8. That's welfare. Negroes can't talk to you if you have a rent voucher. Negroes can't talk to you if you have a bridge card. Negroes can't talk to you if you got food stamps. No, that's still welfare. That's still Roosevelt welfare system that's still in place. No, don't be going around here like you were somebody living in a subsidized housing, getting paid on governmental system. No. As a woman, you're supposed to be the wife of a family with a strong man as a husband, making sure to protect you and your kids and owning your home. As a man, you're supposed to be having a wife, not a tot, not a hoe over there. You're supposed to have a wife and protecting your kids. Now, when you are a husband, you make sure that your resources go into taking care of your family. You're going to have some stupid black men, some stupid, ignorant niggas that are going to be out here gambling their money. Whether it's gambling or lottery, it's still the same as that gambling. Niggas out here smoking their money away through cigarettes and through weed. And some, of course,
that wacky weed. That wacky weed is out here.
Right, to keep you confused and disillusioned, because a high person can't fight a takeover. A person who's drunk can't fight back when they're being abused and misused. A drug addict can't even realize that something is going wrong because he's too high to see reality as it is. And so that's why you mess up the people's minds so they can't think. And you give them such a low self-esteem that they're always looking to be praised by whites and not by blacks. Why they're honoring whites and not blacks, why they're doing for whites and not blacks, because you should be able to look and turn your neighborhood into a community. You should be able to look and turn your neighborhood into community. A community means that you don't need to leave it, that your supermarket is there. Community means that you don't need to leave it, that the jobs are right there. The community means that you don't have to leave it because the housing is right there. The community means that you don't have to leave it because a laundromat is right there. Community means you don't have to leave it because a post office is there. Community means you don't have to leave it because a high-level college-bound school system is there, not the stuff that we have right now. So we have a neighborhood where you go sleep, but there's nothing to have us stand up on our feet as black men and black women. And if you are loving other men and you are a man, no, you are not a black man. You are a disgrace to your race. You are a disgrace to your race because you have been broken down, bent over, and you can't do nothing to help your race because you are trying to become you are trying to act like you're a Greek and you're a Roman. And here you have black skin, and you've been done in mentally, spiritually, and now physically. If you're a black woman, and you're trying to do with black women, other women, then you have lost your place of grace. God made you look like him. As the author and finisher of life, you look like God more than Adam. He gave you that precious gift. But woman to woman cannot appropriate and create. So what happened is you have rejected God. All women who go woman to woman have rejected God. All men who go men to men have rejected God. They're an abomination to the Lord, so saith with the book of Leviticus in chapter 11. So no, Satan has came in and messed with your mind and made you sell your behind. So now it's time that we get it right, that you find yourself, discover yourself. Stop being a play to the Greeks. Stop being a play to the Romans. Stop being a hold to Satan. It's time to come home and get yourself right. It's time to raise the standard up to the Most High, because if you are not holding these standards and you're not a Christian, then you're not Hebrew Israelite, then you're not Muslim, you're not 5%er. You're nothing but an undercover Satanist, because you should be lifting up the most principles of the sacred text, which is the black family, the man, the woman, the children, the husband, the wife, the children. And any man that does not uplift his wife is not worthy to be called a husband. Any man who does not uplift his wife is not worthy to be called a husband. Any woman who puts down her man is not worthy to be worth the title of wife. Any woman who puts down her man is not worthy to be the title of wife, because that was given in the Garden of Eden, both in the Quran and the Torah and in the Bible. So we have to start getting it right to save the black life, to save the black family, and we have to reach out and start using our doulas for our little babies who are out here who are having babies. Because the babies started having babies, and then they became children, and they were still now the babies are still the children. So now a baby, a little girl is having a baby. So she's a mother, and the child, which is her mother, is now called the grandmother. And then the mother, the grandmother now, who's in her 30s and 40s, is the great-grandmother. And the great-great-great-great-grandmother is now in her 50s or her 60s. What kind of nonsense is that? What kind of nonsense is that?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Save the black baby, save the black mama.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Doc, we ran out of time, but we always appreciate your insight. Matter of fact, you keep the show rolling. You keep everything moving. And listen, I'm going to work on that doula. I'm going to see because
she's
the whole lot of
this weekend. Did she tell you that she's going to be here? Did she tell you that we're going to be at Highland Projects this weekend at 3 o'clock over at the Highland Projects that we're going to be doing a doula? We're going to do a little mini basketball camp. We're going to do a little dental health fair, regular medical health fair, and we're going to be doing that over at the community center over at the Highland Projects.
I'll definitely stop in at 3 o'clock. Just remind me if you can, and I'll definitely make sure I show my face and see what I can do to help.
Yeah, everybody's invited this Saturday. Get your teeth looked at, get your feet looked at, get your heart and lungs checked out. Games, fun, entertainment, and we're going to be even teaching you how to make some healthy food. And we'll have some food you can try.
Very good.
Yep.
Wow, that's huge, Doc. I appreciate that. That's really huge. Listen, we are out of time. But Saturday, 3 o'clock, just remind me, Highland Project, I'll be there.
Amen. Thank you.
All right, now. We'll talk soon. We'll make sure that we're doing all the things we're doing. And let's make it happen.